Recording in progress.
Okay.
So let's tell me more about you and how this connection happened.
Yeah, weird. Okay, so I'm 32 years old. I was born and raised in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota. I guess, I guess with you, your connection, I saw you on Gaia. I started my membership with the Gaia series probably about a year ago. I work on my computer for my job, so I'm on YouTube a lot, and I noticed the videos that I was looking up, kind of like the algorithm got me to Gaia basically, and I would see clips and I was so interested in what they were talking about and I just wanted to know more. So then I actually didn't really know of the show Interviews with ED Extra Dimensionals for a while, but then I saw you and what it said, A Journey into Telos, and I thought that was super interesting, and it seemed more of like a positive show, like I do love the other shows that are a little bit more serious and whatnot too, but it just kind of drew me in. And I don't know, like right away, just how you are, you actually remind me of my dad a lot. You're just how you are, especially when he's really happy and in the present moment kind of a thing. And yeah, I watched it and everything you had to say, I just could feel it. I could envision what you were kind of saying, and it was just so interesting, and it made me feel so hopeful and happy, and I just wanted to know more. So yeah.
That's good. You think of it as we're beating you guys out of the bushes right now. And I can't speak to whatever the hell it was that triggered me. I'm just thankful that it happened because I was, going along like everybody else. But there's a bigger thing going on here. Earth's consciousness is rising, and people are totally unaware of it, and they should be. The way that we were conditioned, the way we were brought up, and here are the things that we've been drawn to pay attention to, and here's how you do it. Well, that just doesn't resonate with a lot of us anymore. And why? Because there's other electromagnetic influence that's coming our way that you can't deny anymore. So when you start to go down the rabbit hole, and that one turns into three more, and how that happens, you just want to get to the bottom of it. And the Capricorn in me, man, I need to understand it for myself. Whether I can explain it to anybody else later, well, time will tell, but I need to know it. And man, I've come to these conclusions in a crazy way. And then just about the time the universe has got a hold of you, then it'll start to show you things beyond your capacity to understand it.
So did you go through your kind of spiritual awakening or the start or during COVID, or were you doing other things before that? Because I know you, did you say you went to Mount Shasta during COVID?
Yes, that's when it that I had been on this journey for a couple of years seriously by then. I think the trigger was very late in 2015. I mean, call it January 2016. That's when this hunt for things spiritual really kicked into gear. It wasn't that the entire time through my life, I look back at it, I know who I was and I know how I was designed and I know why I reacted the way that I did. I chose parents that I didn't have to rely on much because, man, I came into this for a different purpose and I didn't know what it was. Been through church and that influence and just then didn't get my questions answered. And there was still just a part of that not just that, but any part of your this third dimensional here construct, we need to label things in order to understand them. And because we've given it a label and we live in duality, there's a good part and there's a bad part, and we're just getting tired of it. We've learned these lessons, we're done. It's time for Earth, who is not waiting for all of us to kumbaya together to rise in her. No, that's a cosmic thing that's going on with her. I'm sure that she hopes that by the time that that takes place, which by the way is quite soon, we just need to vibrate at the same level that she does. And then when we do, just like having multidimensional experiences here, when you vibrate at the same level of that stuff around you, guess what you get to see and experience? Here you go. And you know what the good news is? It's friggin' within all of us. Mm-hmm. You just have to focus on it enough. So maybe some of the reasons why you prefer a space that's quiet and peaceful is that's how you can really make the connection.
Mm-hmm. I think maybe that's what it took, to be honest. Yeah, I was just going to ask you kind of about your parents, because you said, you know, you said you chose them, which you're saying, you know, before birth, you know, with we all chose the parents we decided to come here to this earth to. Yeah, sorry, it was a little mumbo jumbo. So I was just curious about your parents. You said they're more hands off, did you have some hardships growing up because of that you didn't realize, or anything like that? Or
I didn't know anything other than that. So here's how it kind of played out. I was born 54. Mm-hmm. My father was 18 when I was born, I learned later under the circumstances by which that took place. Yes. By the time I was 4, I had 2 younger sisters, and my father got divorced. My mom was out of the picture after that, and so it was very unusual back in the late 50s for a father to get custody of his children. So, you know, read into that what you wish. I believe in first of all that we are reincarnating, and we've had past lives.
Yeah.
And really, if we understand the concept of these, the reasons we incarnate is that we're sparks of source, right? Of course we are. And so we were sent out to learn more about source, learning about itself. So we sign up for these lessons. We agree to a soul contract, and we have players that are going to come and assist us along the way, because this is a game. This is an experiment we're here to play, to learn duality. So I signed up for lessons. Some are lousy. Some are great. But those are mine. And that's why all of our journeys are unique. You didn't pick the same lessons I had, and thank God you did not. But you know, thank you now, like I do for everybody else.
Yeah.
Thank you for the lousy lessons you learned, and you're welcome for the ones I learned for you. But if we believe that we get to set the stage, we choose the lessons, and we pick those circumstances, we choose our parents. We choose them. Our children chose us. So, you know, when you start to think about things from that perspective, there's a different level of gratitude that you get, especially when you think of why your children chose you. You never know the reasons why. They are also on their own journeys with their own lessons to learn. And really, when we allow that to happen and we get to experience everybody's unique, special gift, wow. That person was designed to do really something special, and no one else was designed that way. So was I. I have a unique gift in that same way. But watch, when the two of us are in one room, what we can do collectively, that is the society we're moving to. That is a civilization that's next. We already know we're connected to one another. We're no longer playing this game. It's not that we don't recognize duality. We absolutely do. But we are smart enough to rise above it.
Okay, that's very interesting. Just to piggyback off of what you said with your parents, you know, my parents divorced when I was 12, and just because of the circumstances and how things went, my dad took me and my sister, and we still lived at home. So from that moment on, you know, he was kind of like my primary, you know, parent too, even though they're both still in my life now. And it's good. It's just, he was more of like the parent for both, in a sense, and kind of is now to an extent. And I think growing up, I, you know, had my own hardships that we, of course, chose for ourselves. During those times, you know, I felt really lost and like, why is this happening? How can I get out of it? And, you know, I think what really started my spiritual awakening is like, my boyfriend broke up with me when I was like 23 or something. I was very,
a frame of reference, what year was that?
Okay. So if I was 23 and I'm 32 now, so it would have been about 11 years ago, probably.
Okay. But,
yeah.
I always look for triggers here. That's why.
Yeah, I should. Yeah, I need to look into that more.
Well, I'm in a unique place to do that because I get to hear from people all over the place now.
Yeah.
And it's always interesting for me to hear about them. Mm-hmm. I know you have questions for me, but I want to know more about you because you're just more tribe that showed up for me too.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we all
it's
need
so crazy
we
that
all
you live
need
in Minnesota.
Somebody
else. Sorry. Were you born in Minnesota?
Yes, oh I was born gosh. In St. Paul.
That is just so that is crazy. That is so cool.
Let's see what coincidence. There are no coincidences.
Yeah.
We just recognize synchronicities. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyways, just to kind of make a long story short, through my teens and 20s, I really struggled hard with drinking alcohol. And, you know, I don't struggle with that as much anymore, but, you know, it's still kind of there a little bit sometimes. But so I was having a really, really bad time when he broke up with me. And my aunt, Jessica, she would see this psychic medium lady that I didn't know anything about, but she asked if I wanted to set up an appointment with her. And the lady was able to introduce me to my spirit guides and tell me that I chose this path and my parents. And at first I was like, are you kidding me? Why would I choose this? You know? But that was really, I think, the start of everything for me. And, you know, there was still struggle and hardships after that, but, I went and reached out to that woman, during COVID, and that's where it really jumped start again for me, I thought. So, that's kind of how I started with that, but I don't know exactly if that's what we were talking about to begin with.
Yes, it was. Yes,
okay.
It was.
But yeah. So, since then I've just been a lot more into just really trying to figure out what is really going on, my purpose, to calm down, to go through my traumas and get over that. And I've been watching Gaia a lot, and I saw you on, and it was such a cool thing that you shared about your experience at Telos and then just everything else. And then, to be honest with you, I'm not trying to be in a fear mindset or anything, but you know, it is, I feel it. And I'm a bit nervous about the imminent thing, but, you know, I'm really happy for it. I hope that I'll be able to go, and my family too. And it's not just about me. It's about everyone and Mother Earth, but I am kind of nervous about it. And
tell me what you're nervous about and we'll address it.
Well, I guess I'm more nervous for my family a bit. My partner, my mom and dad, my loved ones, my dog. I think that I'm on possibly the path to do that because I feel like I'm still going in this direction and really following what rings true to me. But I guess I'm just nervous about it. And I also don't know what it's going to look like or how much time we kind of have, you know?
let's see. Where do I begin to unpack that? Well, I'll sort out your family first, because we already kind of touched on just you and me. We're sovereign beings with free will, and we're on our own journeys, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I don't need to remind you that so are they.
Yeah.
And we don't know what lessons they are. We just as hard as it is for you to watch some of their journey, honey, I'm sure it was hard for them to watch parts of yours the way that you described going through it. But I will say this, by the way, your demeanor does not speak that was in your past at all.
Okay.
Good. Very good. Because I can tell that you live in the moment and that's where you belong. My next question is, you know, where do you sense their level? Tell me about your partner. Is he on the same level vibration that you're on?
I feel like he is, but I feel like he's a bit skeptical. I feel like the stuff that we've watched a lot together, and I talked to him about he opens up. There's times where he kind of shuts it down, and I don't know if it's because it's too out there, or if it's scary, or he's afraid that I'm going to go too crazy or something. I don't know. I don't feel like I am doing that at all. But I guess I feel a little bit, I feel more drawn to it than him, but he's definitely interested. Open? He's open. He's definitely
very
open.
Good. Yeah. That's all that we can ask. Well, we can't even ask. We just hope that people are. And again, all we get to do, we get to allow. And what role we're supposed to play when we cross their paths, because remember, we arranged for this reunion here in this incarnation. Mm-hmm. You know, you two came together to serve a purpose. Mm-hmm. We never know how long that's going to be or what the purposes are until really afterwards we get to look back and go, oh, now I connect the dots and I can see that. What about the rest of your family? Are they open?
Yes, they are, but my dad, I think he's starting to become a little bit more spiritual, but I feel like he's more on the religious aspect, but more like Lutheran. That's what we were raised. My mom also is into a lot of light, you know, like life after death kind of stuff, and she's more into the Catholic ideas and things like that. My sister, I feel like she's more spiritual, but just not there yet. I don't think she's just really opened herself up to it yet, but I really think she would get there. Other than that, you know, Jeff's family, they're awesome, but they're pretty devout Catholic. So, I mean, that's really who I care about, but I mean, obviously I care about everybody. I want it to be good for everyone, but so they're more religious in that way. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's certainly understandable. It's how we're all conditioned. But even though those of us that were trained that way, brought up that way, there's something else afoot with our inner beings that is coming to the surface now. And I'm sure a lot of it has to do with, you know, differences in frequency that's hitting the planet and every sentient critter on her, something's triggering all of us that we really can't put our fingers on. So, you know, there's still hope for you to witness that in each one of them, but whether or not it happens or not, here's what I can tell you about that family unit that you're so tied to here in 3D. Honey, on the next realm, you've been connected to them forever. And they're still waiting for you on the other side. We never lose anybody. We've figured out how to make the transition from, you know, the incarnations complex here in 3D. Yeah. When we start all over again, it's not bad at all. We all know we're connected. That's where the fourth dimension is. That's where we clear our karma and we move on to the fifth dimension really quickly. But we get to experience still physical form here. That was what we get to do.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes. We get to be physical form through 5D, but you're also going through some changes because this carbon body you wear here right now, this little avatar, it isn't going to be carbon in the next incarnation. It's going to turn into crystalline. Yeah.
So would we be hard then? Or like, does that make any sense?
You're a light body. Wrap your mind around what a light body is. And it just, when it comes into form, it's crystalline in nature. So it's not this carbon thing that requires food and maintenance. Yeah. I can't tell you how old the Lemurians I saw are, hundreds, thousands of years. They're just flawless. Flawless.
Wow,
and so yeah, it's amazing. So your concerns about the rest of them moving through, they're still sovereign beings with free will too. And maybe they'll choose not to, you know, ascend this time around. They're not done playing 3D lessons. I certainly, when this started to happen and my son and I were starting to have these conversations carefully, he pretty much said, Dad, I'm not done, you know, enjoying this. And he's right. And that's all I get to do is allow, not convince anybody of anything. I can just tell you what I know. I can tell you what I know that is coming for certain. And I'm not the kind of guy that would have said any of this before. In fact, today, I would just assume shut up and never talk about this again. But I can tell you with great certainty that what is happening with the planet is going to take place anyway. And in order for us to move to the next level with her, if that's really what we choose, because we get to choose, we have to vibrate at her same level. However I got blessed and touched by light beings, yeah, and I get to step into the next dimension and report back on what I see, I'm excited for all the rest of us. Is it taking longer than I hope? Yes. But on the other hand, there's still a level of preparation that needs to take place. But I'm telling you, the window of time that we expected is a lot shorter than anybody ever expected. And you see evidence of it now. That stuff that's coming from the sun, whether it's a, you know, a stream of just solar wind, or whether it's an actual CME, our Earth has, her magnetic field has been deteriorating, not because of that, by design. One day she was supposed to, that's going to drop, the poles are going to flip just like she's capable of doing, and she moves into her next incarnate, her level of consciousness rises, and so does everybody else that's around her. And believe me, the stuff I see around me here now is pretty freaking magnificent. You can all do it. We can all do it if we focus enough on it.
So, like, you're saying that you are, you, so do you feel like you're in 4D right now, or
Not at the moment, but I step over there, you know, without
much, and things come into your view, just like you'd be walking outside and you would see more things, like something like
that. Well, there's 4D, I see much vivid color, much more vivid color. All my senses are heightened. I see colors. Audible sounds. I hear frequencies that, you know, I didn't hear before. I hear music that isn't there that everyone else, you know, doesn't hear when I hear it. Yeah. You're just much more acute from that sixth dimensional perspective. Your ethereal body kicks in, and that's how you feel things. When we talk about feelings, when you finally get outside of the five senses you have been train to use and start to feel with your ethereal body around here, now you sense colors, and I see forms that, you know, the best way I could explain it is when you see heat coming off the sidewalk, that's kind of what it looks like to me, except it's in form.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Nice. Very cool. So to raise your vibration to get to, you know, the Mother Earth frequency when she awakens completely, is the best thing to do is to just have your heart open. Like, what, I guess, what is the best
thing? Yeah. That's the spot that that requires attention. Okay. If, you know, I can't ignore any of the dark things that have happened any more than you do, just like you suggested. For a long time, I had tuned it out. Mm-hmm. And maybe by design, that's how I had trained my thinking, not to let any negative entities in at all. I was holding positive space for everybody, and that got me through. Well, there came a day, and it wasn't that long ago, when I had to face the fact that, you know, our DNA had been manipulated, and that we definitely, there's been dark influences on us. I hadn't focused any of my attention on it, but now that it's been made available to me, I don't perpetuate it, because that just feeds the energy. Okay. And I know that. Mm-hmm. So there are other ways for me to put that into perspective. But especially now, there's no reason for me to go over what history had happened. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't want to feed that energy. Instead, I'm going to focus on where we're going next. And regardless of what everybody else around me is focusing on, they still want to talk about secret space programs and abductions. And that, I can't deny that that stuff didn't happen. But so I choose not to put my attention on it, because I know I manifest what I put my attention on.
Yes. Okay. So is it good though to, I wrote this down. Is it good to have a balance of knowing the positive and negatives of everything? Or, I mean, I know you should focus on the positive, but you shouldn't always just tune out the negative aspects. Like, how to work with that, if that makes sense.
I, you know, you're asking me for advice that's really not my position to tell people how to think. For myself, I'm going to continue to just focus on the things that are positive. And here is the reason why. Because what we put out to the universe is what it sends back in abundance. I have seen that over the last few years occur to me time and time again. I can manifest the things that I want. I can speak them into form. If I start to focus on negative things, I know that's what I'll get in return. Mm-hmm. So I refuse to do that. There's certainly enough other people around me that are holding that space. If they want to continue to bring attention to the things that they're pissed about, well, then know what you should expect in return.
Yeah,
I don't know that you're really feeling yourself. To me, the gauge moving forward is, do my interactions keep my vibrations high, or do they drop it? That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. And if they drop, I love you and I'll send energy your way, but you're not going to get much more of my attention.
Yes, I get that now. That makes a lot of sense. Good. Nice. I know we've been talking a lot already. And
keep going.
Okay, awesome. So sound frequencies, I was kind of curious about, do you use them personally at all for anything?
You just, I don't know that I use them intentionally, mm-hmm. but I was certainly really well aware of them. And I pick mm-hmm. them out now when I listen to music, I hear different aspects of it. I was interested. I was in band when I was in junior high school, so I certainly understood music from that perspective. And I've always listened to it. I say that music has been the one constant companion my whole life. I turned off news and stopped reading newspapers when I was young.
Yeah.
And when I needed influence, I listened to music, not radio, not any influence, just music. Some of it, I love the melodies. Some of it, I love the beats. Some of it, I love the lyrics. Some of it, I love combinations. Mm-hmm. But there was something about each piece that triggered me along the way that I kind of tucked aside, and that's what I listened to. It's all of it was designed to make my vibration higher when I look at what my choices have been.
That's awesome. Yeah. Good to know. I just want to go, I'm just trying to see what exactly. Oh, okay. I was a little bit curious of what you think of so the importance of water and sunlight. Also too, with the whole water aspect, I know that a lot of our water is treated with fluoride. I'm wondering if you try to avoid that, or what you think on that. And then with sunlight, just how important is that to have in your routine? And, you know, that obviously must help your vibration as well, I'm assuming.
Water. I, for a long time now, that's really all I drink ever. It's rare that I have something else than that. And again, it was something that the universe just kind of triggered in me. I grew up in a household where people drank a lot of Pepsi, a lot of Pepsi.
Yeah.
I weaned myself off that when I was young. And ever since, you know, I just want something refreshing to me. And water, it satisfies my thirst.
Mm-hmm.
When I visited Shasta and I had water from the headwaters, that alpine water, it's all you ever want to have. And once you do, you understand the differences between that and everything else. You just can't carry enough of it home with you. And the people that live there, they take 5-gallon bottles. It's an interesting phenomenon, but people get their drinking water there. And now I understand why. It's charged in other ways though, too. I had some crystals that, you know, they did their job and cleared some negative energies, and that water cleared them. So, oh my God, there's something about the water in Mount Shasta on top of whatever other magic is there. Now the sun is where we need to start to remind each other we're electromagnetic beings. That's who we are. Really, when you compare us and look at how our physiology aligns itself to those 12 chakras, it's the same thing that the earth is. She was first created with 12 crystal pyramids strategically placed to form a grid. And so here is how she sustains her being, and her heartbeat is just through that. Our influence now comes from the sun, right? We get photon energy. There's plasma coming at us all the time that, although we are not aware of it other than sunburn and whatnot, it's solar energy that we really live on. Think about what you eat. When you're eating vegetables, you're just taking in solar energy through those plants. Mm-hmm. And the cleaner it is, the healthier you feel, and the more we seem to crave the sun, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So every other version is getting some rendition of solar energy. Even when you eat dead animals, well, you still get that, but that's not the ideal way to get that nourishment. Mm-hmm. People that begin to sun gaze at, you know, either sunrise just when it's above the horizon or just before sunset, I've heard stories of those that live on just that. And so I don't know what prana that's created for them, but it did. And, you know, you can't deny that.
Yeah, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. To eatings regard, are you a vegetarian or vegan? Or
I didn't start out to be, but a few years ago when all this started and I didn't really have to plan meals for family, when I could just eat the way I wanted to eat and when I wanted to eat, I wanted fruit and vegetables. Mm-hmm. And if I had protein, I did, but it tends to be more chicken and fish and not a lot of that. Mm-hmm. I don't want heavy food in me anymore. It just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
And that's not to say I don't love steak. I love steak. And I came here to enjoy all the physical parts. So I'm not forgetting that while I'm here during the last few stages of 3D.
Yeah.
But I just don't crave those things anymore. And I don't know that I intentionally set out to do that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like I've never really been a huge meat eater person, but now I'm finding myself really wanting just fruit and fresh foods and whatnot. I still do eat meat, but I feel like I'd like to make the transition over to maybe vegetarian for sure. But so regarding crystals, so you are a fan of crystals, and is there certain ones that you use a lot or keep on you or?
Oh my God. When I was a kid, the rocks was my thing. When we would go to the science museum, my friends would get models and stuff. No, I'd bring home rocks. That's what I like.
Nice.
So I've always been around them and fascinated by them. And so then when crystals were introduced to me and I started to study what purposes they served and, you know, what intent you could have them amplify for you. Oh, my God. I understood what amethyst can do and what quartz could do and what hematite could do and how they could affect parts of the body when you broke yourself down into separate chakras. If you really want to find alignment, you got to figure out how this works first. So as a Capricorn, I learned how to break that down. I understood each one of the chakras. And then you find crystals because it's really a pretty simple way to find ways to get each one of those chakras in alignment, because typically one crystal is more conducive to a particular chakra. Mm-hmm. Some are good for the heart. Some are good for your root. Some are good for the crown, you know. Mm-hmm. And so when I started to purchase them for that purposes, I would typically get this pocket stones, I call them, about that size that fit in your pocket. And I had one for every chakra. And then I had multiple ones for every chakra because I love crystals. And I probably own more labradorite than any human being should have over time.
Yeah.
I never bought them to resell. I can say that with certainty now because I gave them all away. And I bought a lot of them. Mm-hmm. The very first high vibration stone that Moldavite got my attention the first time I heard the word. Mm-hmm. And so I had to have a piece of that. Now they're pricey, but when you understand how it got here, how it was formed and how much of it there is, there's a finite amount of it. Okay. It's all the same. It kind of looks like this green glass, but it doesn't. It looks like kind of a dirty stone, but it doesn't feel like stone. When you hold it up to the light and let that pass through it, oh my God, it's a green glow. But that was caused by a meteor that struck the Earth with such force 14.5 million years ago that it went to the core and melted down and then spewed itself back on the surface near the Moldau River in Czechoslovakia. That's what it was named after. So when it dried, this stuff is half stardust and half Earth component. So you want, I always thought of it as, here's my connection to, you know, my star family out there. I just needed to hang on to this moldavite and they knew where I was the whole time. But it's a high vibration crystal you have to get used to. It's not for the uninitiated. It's not a really soothing stone. It is not that. But,
Does it make you
vibrate with it? It's good.
Okay. Does it make you... feel things you maybe don't necessarily want to feel to address, or what do you mean by that?
That's not quite the stone that does that. There are things that'll draw it out of you, you know, when things need to be surfaced and purged to make space for what's to come. I wouldn't call it that. That was just, I like to think of moldavite as an amplifier. If you had another stone, you've given an intent to assist you with something else, moldavite, like, it like kicks it into another gear.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. But there, it's a tricky stone. You've heard stories of how sometimes they disappear and sometimes they show back up.
Yeah.
That actually happened to my son.
Oh, wow.
He liked the story about moldavite so much that, you know, he wanted a piece. So I actually gave him the first one I ever had.
Oh.
Well, he was getting ready to go on a trip. And he packs the same bag when he goes where he's going. He's got a, you know, to-go bag. And he set this piece of moldavite on top of it before he left. He'd done it many times before. He emptied out his pockets and gets ready to go. Well, on this particular trip, when he got ready to go, he couldn't find the moldavite. He searched everywhere, tore his bag apart, tore the bed apart, looked everywhere in the bed, could not find it. Took him a couple months for him to call me and say, yeah, Dad, remember the moldavite you gave me? I can't find it. So, well, just give it time. I've certainly heard accounts where they've gone off to somewhere else. Sometimes they come back, sometimes they don't. You know, let's just see what happens.
Wow.
Well, like 4 months later, he was getting ready to go somewhere in the same spot, Courtney,
right,
and with
there,
the same bag in the same place. And when he turned around, there was the freaking piece of moldavite sitting on the place that he thought he had left it months before.
That is really cool.
It's crazy. I'm a big fan, though, of Andaras. People have heard me talk about those, but those are not your typical crystal.
Andara?
They are not Andara. A-N-D-A-R-A, yeah.
Okay.
That was fused from some other non-Earth material and was planted here for a purpose.
Wow.
But that's more like when you acquire a piece of Andara to steward, because nobody really owns them. These things are relics. I can't even tell you how long they've been here. But they carry consciousness. You want to connect to Akashic records. These things can do that. And they all connect to one another.
Yeah.
Now they've been gridded all over the planet. So
wow,
they're assisting in the process.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll have to look into that more. How about energetic portals? I know on your website you have a link to that. So there's a bunch of energetic portals around the earth that we can go to expand our consciousness and things like that. Is there any in Minnesota?
I don't know yet. There absolutely has to be. It's been a long time since I've been out. And again, I need to get out in nature where I can find those things.
Yeah.
Since I've been back, I wanted to see if there might be an area, because when you go to Shasta and you get to stargaze and you see the stars without any light pollution, that's all you ever want to see. So when I go to different areas, I like to find places that you can do that, but there's so many lights around in the Twin Cities area, and I'm kind of west.
Okay.
It's impossible to find a place where you can see the Milky Way the way I've seen it at the top of Shasta.
My gosh, that's so cool. I would love to go to Mount Shasta sometime. I told Jeff that I wanted to go there in the next year at some point if I can, but
There's magic there. I'm sure I've been to Sedona too, and it's wonderful, but I've been to Shasta 4 times. And every time there's been a different kind of magic that unfolded while I was there.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think about your experience at Telos like every day? Or like
I don't, not Telos. And somebody asked me the other day, you know, have you been back to Telos recently? And the answer was no. And they said, well, don't you want to go back? Yes, in the worst way. However, now that you get to explore different dimensional destinations, yes, I'd love to go back to Telos, but there are many other places that have my attention.
Yeah.
And that's just thinking about moving around in inner Earth.
Mm-hmm.
There are places here that I want to understand better. But that precludes the idea that, oh, my God, we're no longer limited to this particular orb. Oh, my God, guys, we can communicate and actually go other places.
Mm-hmm.
When you get into your light form, there's nothing to stop you from going into other dimensions. And here on the planet, by the way, there are 9. Now, you can't raise yourself all the way up to jump from here, even in the fourth dimension, to the 9th. But the place where you're going to scoot to the 5th dimension like that.
Mm-hmm.
When the transition takes place, you're still in physical form, but all your capacities, all the things that are waiting in your Akash to be recalled, you're not learning anything new.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting command of the things that you've had all this time. Mm-hmm. And when you get to that part, if you want to turn yourself into a light being, you can scoot into the 6th dimension and explore that. You have a more collective view of things then. You just know you're connected to everybody else and the power that comes with that. But there are representations from higher dimensions here on this earth plane up to the 9th dimension.
Wow, that's so
yes.
cool. That's
mm-hmm.
really cool. To that regard, So do you believe that there are other inner earth civilizations that are 4 or 5D on the earth besides Telos?
Without question. Yes.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Are these civilizations going to come forward before the ascension process or anything? Okay.
No. I understand that the last times that Lemurians, because they used to, they would, you know, come into form and they would spend time in Shasta. They would trade gold for the things that they wanted, but that stopped like in the 1930s. Now, when I follow the timeline of humans' behavior, because mm-hmm. when we get in the 1940s and we start to do stupid things like drop hydrogen bombs and prove that we can damage the planet, there had been a hands-off attitude. And kind of a rule from, you know, the galactic side of things on this Earth experiment. Humanity is supposed to learn what they needed to know. Never mind our DNA had been manipulated in the meantime. However, it was still the intent that this is an experiment. We want to see what humanity does.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're getting back to the place where we're going to be restored to our original human design. Put us back in the place we're going to be just in time for this ascension to take place. So where the Lemurians are excited and want to reconnect with us, they're not about to drop their vibration to come into this depth.
Yeah, that makes
Why sense. Would you do that? There, it makes no sense. They mm-hmm. can witness it from where they are, but they're going to wait until our vibration matches theirs. Mm-hmm. And then the reasons that they're so excited and why I am is they have awesome technology to share with us, but they see things from that perspective where they just don't recognize duality anymore. They see when it happens, but collectively they're smarter and they rise above it. You know, we're coming out of that mold,
mm-hmm.
but what makes us so incredibly valuable is our creativity.
Mm-hmm.
We love to make things better. And where does that come from? Our emotion. Mm-hmm. So when we take that element and combine it with their technology and the next stage of things, watch what humanity can do then.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I was just going to share with you a dream that I had that has stuck with me just because I feel like I don't hold on to dreams very long at all. But this one I do remember you know, pretty well. And it did frighten me a little bit, but so the dream that just that I remember having was I was with a bunch of people like on a sandy shore. It could have been a lake. It could have been an ocean. It almost seemed a little bit like a tropical place, but it was, I want to say it was either like dawn or twilight and really like windy and whatnot. And in the sky, there was tons of crazy, like almost like a whips of lightning happening and just like really weird sounds and just crackling and like something crazy was going off. And in my dream, I kept remembering like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is happening. This is happening. And I noticed that there's people around me that just some of them would float up. They would just float up so easily, just very slowly. And I remember watching that and then thinking to myself, like, I'm so nervous. I don't want to float up. I don't know what's going to float up. I don't know what's going to happen. What's, you know, like, I was just so like, I don't want this to happen. I don't like, it's going to happen or something like that. And that was the dream, but I woke up to that and it was really interesting and it was a bit frightening, but it was also like, what does this mean? Or does that mean anything? I don't know.
If I were to interpret that, based on what I think is coming, you're describing, you know, parts of the actual physical ascension process that when part of the rules here on Earth is, you know, gravity, right? I've certainly dreamt many times, and I think it's still within our capabilities now. It's the next thing I've asked for. You said I can have some special gifts back. I want to defy gravity. I think that our ability to manifest that, if I told you how the pyramids were built and that, you'd understand that they could manipulate gravity long ago, even though within this plane, those are still rules we had to live with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, people from higher dimensions don't have to deal with that. They can manifest and deal with things in a different way. So instead of, you know, thinking about moving huge boulders, I want you to think of what the boulder is made out of first. Whatever that matter is, they can manifest in and out of form, can't they? So let's figure out some sacred geometry. And if we're going to build a pyramid, we're going to put all that light material in place and then turn it into form.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
That's how pyramids were built. That's how huge structures were built. Not because little humans dragged things across the desert sand. No, they did not.
Wow. So
let that sink in.
Yeah, I will have to. Yeah.
Honey, here's the thing. You're going to have the ability to manifest just like that when you reach the next level. We all will. We've been kind of handcuffed here, and yes, our manifestations come true, but we have to navigate a lot of things and have a lot of miraculous things lined up for us by the universe in this density. The next density, we're no longer strapped by any of that.
That's awesome. That's so cool. Wow. I just want to, before, I know we've been talking a lot.
Well, we haven't been here for an hour yet, and I got certainly allowed for that.
Good. Yeah. I just don't want to, if it's too much, I don't know.
It is not too much. Okay. I'm here to answer your questions. And actually, every time we do these, there's something I get out of them too. Courtney.
Yeah.
Thank
good.
You.
Yeah. You're welcome. I'm glad. Well, I wrote on here, the all seeing eye. I feel like I see that a lot. Do you know anything about that? If that's a good sign or a bad sign or like, any regard to that?
And when you see that, it just occurs to you that you have access to other things? Is that it?
I just don't know if it's okay. So it seems to pop. There's this one occurrence where it really was stood out to me, where I went to the St. John's Abbey, I think it was, to see a choir perform with my fiance. I think it was last April maybe, but just the way everything was set up, I had to go to the bathroom really bad. And for some reason on that main level, there was like no bathrooms available. So I had to go downstairs and it was super dark. And the only way to get there was like a specific aligned way for me to get there. It was just so strange. And I did feel something during that time a bit. And then for some reason, the The sink that I chose to go by was like the last sink. And right there was this ring with the all-seeing eye on it. And that was like my strong confirmation to me, because I would see it a lot, like just in things, or it would just pop out a lot to me in places. And I was just kind of like, what is this? And then that happened. And I was like, this is so crazy. I even took a picture of it with me in the mirror. I don't have it with me right now, but I was just curious about that, if that means anything or.
Kind of sounds like a beacon to me. At least that device sounded like a beacon. Okay. And my interpretation is that's your higher being just navigating your way through there. Mm-hmm. You had to just let your little 3D side step aside and just let it lead me. And look what happened when you surrendered and let, you know, whatever was guiding you, whatever that was, got you there. My interpretation of the eye is that's your third eye, and it's wide open. So you get to sense things when you just allow it to do what it's going to do. Look where it took you and look what it showed you.
You know,
those are like little experiments here. It's kind of like the universe saying, here, look what we're going to show you. Teach you a little bit.
Take
this in. That's when we're going to give you more.
They
say swing for the fences on the things that you want us to show you because they're going to blow you away anyway. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going to encounter an ascended master on Shasta. That's what I went there to do. I'd heard about Saint Germain. That guy's no legend. He came out of the woods and talked to Guy Ballard for a long time. Guy wrote books on the material he got from this person who came out of the woods. That's what I was looking for. And the universe said, hold my beer. I'm going to open up this mountain and invite you inside.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Was there any like smells in Telos? Or like, do you remember any like the senses that you had? Okay.
There were no senses no smells that I paid attention to. Mm-hmm. Everything was very visual to me.
Yeah. It was like super vibrant. What was it? I mean, I know you said it was like a city of crystals and so was it like jewel tones of like vibrant things or
colors change depending on light refraction and it's constantly changing. Everything looks holographic except, apparel would look holographic.
Yeah.
The buildings did not. They were crystal structures. They were just in beautiful form.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Now think about it. If you have the ability to manifest things into form, you can create whatever you want that to look like.
Yeah, that's so cool. I was just curious about the moon, just from things I've been reading or watching, it sounds like the moon isn't real. Is that true?
I have a lot of curiosities about myself. You know, I hadn't really put any focus on it. What was it? Moonfall was the last movie that was kind of interesting. Got to thinking about maybe it's just the big hollow thing, perhaps. Mm-hmm. I don't know enough, but I'm going to put some intention on it.
Mm-hmm.
I have some other things. If I was more interested about that as a rabbit hole, I would, but I'm in the middle of what's going on with Earth right now and all my attention's going there. There's more information that I'm going to start to release Monday.
Okay.
About the timing for ascension, what's actually taking place. It was no surprise that the document that came my way talks about golden Taya allotments. I didn't know what they were until I got that either. But these are the areas of the earth that are being prepared now and cleared to hold higher vibration and frequencies today. 20% of the earth's surface. There are many people, they're being guided to these areas and they don't understand why. Well, they're being guided there because these are going to be these safe zones. Well, on the day that the ascension actually physically takes place, apparently there's going to be a 15-day window. Weird. Find your way there. People that are being drawn there, one, because they just know that there's something about this area I need to be here. Some of them are being drawn there to help clear those areas and they're all over the planet. So, when this takes place, it's time for the rest of humanity to know some more things than I know. this is right around the corner. And to identify where these areas are, it's going to explain a lot of things to people that got guided to these areas that didn't really understand why. There was somebody I talked to earlier in the week, and I'd heard her story, Lisa Woodward. She's amazing. She and her family had this, and they were all kind of vibrating high. So it was wonderful for them. Last year, she got this inkling to move to Kauai. Had been in Missouri all her life and just was told to do that. So within a 9-month period, they went from Missouri to Kauai. Bang, there. How do you do that? How do you arrange your whole life before that, sort that out, and then move yourself there and get, it's Kauai for God's sakes. How do you even find a place to live? But she did, and she's there, and she feels drawn to, you know, put her energy in the water. I said, well, you understand now what these golden Taya allotments and what you're doing here. You know why you're drawn here now. And you're also, every time you get in the water, you're just expending that light that you're drawing in. You're expending it here to prepare the rest of this area for the rest of the people that are coming.
That's interesting. To that regard, I just wanted to touch on that. In my knowing, I have been feeling like we need to move like north or something, or to my grandparents' farm for some reason in Glenwood, Minnesota. But I don't know. It's just like this feeling of like, I don't know, north for some reason, but I'm not
good. Sure. Pay attention to just tuck it away, and sooner or later, dots will connect and it'll make sense. Mm-hmm. I've kind of, when things came across me, I started to journal because I was getting profound things that did not come from me, but I would write them down anyway. So I, later on, I would be able to pull them back and refer to them. And like I said, it helps looking back on the things that were presented to me that I didn't understand. So you just get this mentality. If you don't understand, just tuck it away. Sure. And one day it's going to help.
Yeah.
It'll be a dot that'll connect.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, yeah, that makes sense. I've been kind of doing that because I didn't really know for sure.
Good.
Do you ever worry about, because you're sharing all this great information that people could, you know, try to prevent you from sharing it?
None of it's happened yet. Mm-hmm. And I think it should have. You know, I hear people complain about getting booted off social media for content all the time. That has not happened to me. And maybe it's because
you're protected.
What interviews I do, well, I know that that's certainly true. And I don't deny that there's probably some kind of an umbrella over me and my efforts to get information out there. I think that it had been suggested that now that disclosure is a thing, and there are more and more instances like this that are being reported. And I understand I was a special case, because whatever was going to line up with me and whatever assistance that I got from higher realms, it was going to come in the end with photographs. So that not only, Lowell, are you going to tell the story about multidimensional experiences, because yes, I'm sure a lot of people are going to hear Telos, they're going to hear Lemurians, they're going to hear Mount Shasta. They want to hear that cute little story. You already know that that was just your first multidimensional experiences. And since then, we've shown you some more.
Yeah.
That's the story that people need to understand. And where is that coming from? It's because we're getting a higher quality of light from the central sun through our sun that's hitting us and every other sentient critic, preparing us for the next level of ascension. It's preparing our bodies to go from carbon to crystalline, and it's preparing our vibrations to just be aware of high versus low vibrations. Just keep your vibration high, because sooner or later, one day soon, the planet's going to vibrate higher. And if you want to stay here and enjoy what you've just helped to co-create, we just need to make sure that our vibration matches hers.
Yes, that's so true. And there really is not a physical way to prepare if you're going to ascend anyway. Does that make sense?
You can't fake ascension. You have this vibration, or you don't. You can't get to the end and go, oh, I think my vibration matches. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
That.
I was just curious because, like, when you said that there's going to be places on the earth for people to go to that will be safer spots, like, does that mean, like, you know, you should have like seeds to grow food, the right kind of equipment, any of that kind of thing?
You're
No.
thinking like a third dimensional
Yeah.
person, and my human being has to figure out how I'm going to survive. It's
Nothing
you
like
don't,
that.
it's nothing like that.
Yeah. Gotcha. Good to
When
know.
we're done, I'm going to send you this document on the
Okay.
Golden Tie allotments. It's 41 pages long. It's going to take
Wow.
you a while to digest it, but once you do, then you'll kind of have a roadmap. I really thought I had a pretty good handle on what happens during ascension. My guides, like almost 2 years ago, sent me an ascension handbook. Eight sections of, oh my God, here's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And that helped me understand it. It helped lots of other people understand it as well. And now this document dotted the I's across the T's. Oh my God.
That's so cool. That's awesome. Well, thank you. I just want to okay. I was curious about substances to take or to avoid. I don't really drink alcohol. I'm really trying not to, and I haven't for probably about a month and a half. And also before that, it was only on occasions, like maybe once a month or once every other month. But when I would overdo it pretty much. But anyways, I am a cannabis smoker. I smoke.
Hold your thought right there. I have to
Sure.
pause you for just a moment.
Sure. Yeah.
Hold on, I'm gonna.
Oh, no worries.
I started the recording again. So let's go back to where you were.
Yeah, so I guess I feel like I probably should avoid drinking alcohol. I don't think it's probably good for your psyche or ascension, but I guess I did want your take on that. And just some other things, you know, I am a everyday cannabis smoker, which I do like to do. I do appreciate it. I like it, but I'm just wondering what your take is on that as well. And then also like experimenting with psychedelics. I haven't ever tried ayahuasca or mushrooms or LSD or anything. Well, I think I've tried acid once, but it didn't actually work on me. But yeah, I was just curious about that.
I, as far as alcohol is concerned, I think you're weaning off of it, that the universe is just, you want to crave different things. It wasn't that I didn't enjoy cocktails. Man, I was a hospitality guy all my life. And I lived in Sonoma County where there are 492 wineries. So I enjoyed it a lot. I just don't crave it anymore at all. Not that I don't enjoy it, but I think we've just moved on to the next thing. If you want to look at it on what it does to my physical being, you can break that down. I just chalk myself up to not really spending much time on it, focusing on it anymore because I don't want it in my body, but I just don't like the way it lets me feel. Now, let's put that into perspective and I'll talk about plant-based medicines. Because in my mind, that's exactly what cannabis is. And I use it probably as frequently as you do, my friend. To me, it had always been my go-to. Since the time I was young, I preferred that to drinking if I wanted to. And when we just thought that we're getting these states of euphoria, and that's what it was for. And you had lots of fun when it was. Now, from my perspective, and you certainly, when you understand the differences between indica and sativa, you understand what outcomes you are. Sativa had always been my go-to because it just cracked open my creativity. Oh my God, I'm a logical guy to begin with. And so that's the Capricorn part of me, when I could open up on what the creative side was, that's what it's always done for me. Always. So I have an appreciation for that. I have been on ayahuasca journeys myself because I just wanted to understand more connections to spirit. If there's a way that you tell me by ingesting this information, I can get closer to spirit, I want to know what that feels like. And I learned, and it was good for me. it's not recreational. And anybody that thinks that they're going through it, just the preparation to do that is a 30-day process.
Okay.
I mean, your form has to be right to receive this medicine and be in the right setting in order for it to do any good. But there's nothing pleasant about it. Okay. Most people, it's a wonderful tool to assist you with things that you just can't get control of. Okay. Lots of people want, depending what your intent is and what you want to get out of it, people have had trauma in the past, and this is a wonderful way to deal with it. It forces it to the surface, and you're going to deal with it, but after that, it's gone from your psyche at all. I've been in a room with people that have had different types of trauma when they were kids, whether it was physical or whether they have become addicted to something. I have seen people overcome it in a weekend. Wow. Using this method, and it wasn't just like an eraser for bad things in your life. There was a different connection you already had now to source that has just been renewed. And the realization wasn't, yes, something higher than me came to my rescue, but it didn't show you any more than what you already had inside it.
Gotcha. It was just unveiled more so to you. Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. That's good to know. I also take antidepressants. I'm wondering if I should try to wean myself off of that,
Do you meditate?
I take antidepressants, or do I meditate? Yes.
Do you meditate?
I used to, and I haven't. Well, actually, I did a chakra meditation in my bed this morning, but I don't do it that often. I know I need to more. Yeah.
I'm not saying you need to. I'm suggesting for me, that's how I found my calm once and forever. Mm-hmm. And I attribute meditation more than anything to weight loss.
Yeah.
Eliminating. I had high blood pressure all my life. I no longer have it.
Wow.
That's what I accomplished from meditation. I just found that place where my body and the universe came along to, make me crave these different things. That combined, man, my body feels like it's exactly where it's supposed to be, and it's effortless now. My joints feel like I was a young kid again. I don't have aches and pains, and I understand that certainly I have a mindset that there's no capacity for me to get sick. I had certainly during COVID been around people that had Delta variants, and I should have got it, but I did not.
That's awesome.
Explain that.
Yes. After we finish our talk, I am going to go meditate right away.
Good. In my case, again, it's Mary and I do it first thing every morning. As soon as we get up, we have, some lemon water to kind of get things going. Yeah. And then the first thing I do is the first 20 minutes is meditating.
Mm-hmm.
My whole day after that just falls into place.
Yeah, that's right. That's good. Awesome. I don't know what else. I mean, I'm sure there's so much more to talk about, but I guess, is there... So I think do you have classes online, or do you do any
rituals? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I had done them before, and I'm about to launch some again, probably the week after next. There's a network called NEO, New Earth One Network. Yep.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. That's Loren Gailey's. I had done some training on her platform. But we're going to go back and address this whole light phenomenon so people understand physically what it is first, where it's coming from, and then how it's affecting our body and what that means in preparation for this form for what's coming.
Yeah.
And then shortly after, I'm going to go into more detail on the golden Taya allotments so that a broader audience is going to be reached with that information.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. I'll let you read through it and then you reach your own conclusions. You can find me there. We do two podcasts a week. Right now, they've been Thursdays and Sundays, and they're meant to be live. They're a Zoom broadcast.
Awesome.
The first 100 people into the room, if you want to come and exchange, that's what this is for. It wasn't for me to be a talking head and here I'm going to tell you what I'm channeling this. It's not that. Mm-hmm. I love those. Here is finally a place for tribe to show up and share their stories and find a touchstone they were looking for, just like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, thank you so much for everything. I'd love to talk to you again sometime, but I know you are also really busy. It's crazy though that you live in Minnesota.
It's not, this is not a
I guess it's not crazy.
By accident. Yeah. So this won't be the last time that we can communicate. No, I want to find out more about what's going on. And I always, part of my job in this incarnation, I'm a recorder for the Akashic Records and I get to watch when you get it. Sometimes no one else is around when that little trigger came up and all of a sudden I could see the look on Courtney's face and, oh, she got it. I was the only one who got to witness that. So I'll be recording accordingly. Nice. Congratulations. So we're not done. We're not done.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you. And it was such an awesome time to talk to you. And yeah, thank you so much. I really hope you have a great rest of your day. And
if you don't mind, then I'll post this on YouTube later today.
Sure.
You'll be able to watch it and share it with whoever you want. And
okay.
I'll put it out on my podcast network too. Okay.
Sure. That sounds all great. Right. Thank you so much, Lowell. Have a great rest of your day.
You do. Thank you.
Bye.